Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kim Levine is with us, too, ladies and gentlemen. Kim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a good friend of ours. She is the author of Mommy Millionaire. She's the founder and the president of Green Daisy Incorporated, and she is a one-woman force on helping people get their lives on track and get into the marketplace and get their businesses started. She's been on a mission now as long as we've known her, probably long, and I'm sure longer than that, and she's here to talk to us about that very subject. Kim Levine, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me. I'm always excited to talk to you.
Good to have you back, Kim. How's Mommy Millionaire going?
Oh, my God, Jim. You know, talking about, you know, starting businesses, since I started Green Daisy in 2002, I started Mommy Millionaire Media in 2008, and I started a business coaching franchise this year in 2010.
Congratulations.
And I did it without any bank financing.
But didn't you have an investor in the early days?
Yes, Jim, you know.
You had some investment early on when you first started
your business. Right. In 2006, I raised angel capital to fund the growth of my company, Green Daisy.
Was that a good idea?
Oh, that was, you know, I can't tell you how good it is, you know, and everybody has to do it because, as I said, it is the bank of the future. It's the only place money is available.
You mean
angel capital.
You think
angel capital
is the bank of the future for small business.
Right, and it's historic access right now. I even say in my new book, The Mommy Manifesto, how you can even go online and, you know, submit your quote-unquote offering to every angel group in the United States within 24 hours. But, you know, for me, I raised angel capital twice, but in 2008, I bought my company back from investors.
So you went to the marketplace, raised angel capital, got investors in 2006, and 2 years later, you gave them their money back.
I gave them their money back,
and with a
took
return.
Over my company, and started two new companies, Jim, with no bank financing and no investors.
Wow.
And I'm here to tell people how to do it.
You own it 100%.
I own 100%. But I have vested shareholders in one of the companies, and that is the strategy I want to share with your listeners, Jim. This is the way to raise money and to start businesses in this community, in this economy. You know, well, it was
One of the things we know, Kim, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I've been, you know, this is my seventh recession and recovery to follow since I started in the marketplace back when I was in college in '69, and I've never seen another recovery like this one in many ways, but in one way particularly with regard to what we're talking about, and that is the fact that there's such a limited amount of capital, it seems to me, available to startups. Number one, personal credit is off, home equity is off, banks aren't going to loan money to a startup anymore. So you've got, in this environment, you've either got to bootstrap it or you got to bring in investors. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, you couldn't be more true. There is no money out there in conventional financing only, Jim. That's the only place where there is no money. There's no money in banks. There's no money in credit
not
cards.
For, not for startups.
Business, but for startups, right. And even if you're an established business, banks aren't giving you money unless you don't need it. Really, truly.
Well, and interestingly, most established businesses are not asking banks for loans because they're not willing to take that risk right now.
You know, Jim, I got to tell you, one of the best things I ever did was raise angel capital because, you know, it taught me how to bootstrap more than anything.
Right.
My grandfather, who was a self-made millionaire and immigrated from Russia, you know, arrived at Ellis Island.
Right.
He he had a great saying. He said, nobody ever got rich by spending money. And when I raised angel capital and worked with people who essentially bootstrapped themselves to millionaires, I learned how to pinch a penny better than I ever did. I thought I was going to have a fat salary when I raised angel capital. Wrong. These people are about pinching. And you have to bootstrap yourself and convince, you know, you have to do more with less money every day.
Right.
But, you know, I want to make it clear. There's a lot of money out there, Jim, in the private equity sector. There's $20 billion alone in angel capital.
But do you recommend that to, do you still recommend that to most people?
I do, but, you know, we talked about that, and I want to talk about other strategies, too.
Because,
you know?
Because you and I both know that only a tiny fraction of the folks out there who are wanting to start a business are actually even angel investor candidates, aren't they? I mean, aren't most people...
I don't know about that, Jim, you know? I mean, I raised angel capital, and I was selling Wovitz, okay?
Yeah, but you had a product...
But
you had a product that became pretty hot. I mean, well, I guess what I'm getting... Here's my point. You were an inventor. You created a product that could be sold nationwide. That could be leveraged. But if you're starting a, if you want to start a laundry, if you want to start a garage, if you want to start a restaurant, you want to start a retail establishment, that's going to be more difficult. I guess my point is, how do you know when you're a candidate for an investor and when you should just focus on bootstrapping? And bootstrapping,
you know,
by the way,
in
folks,
my book, The Mommy Manifesto, I break down exactly what investors are investing in, what categories are on the top. And believe it or not, Jim, consumer products are number one on the top.
Yep,
if
yep.
you're running any kind of retail industry, and that means either you're selling, you know, items, gifts at a gift store on a retail storefront, or you're selling auto services, okay, that's still essentially a retail function, you're going to have a tough time raising angel capital because they typically don't fund retail or, you know, service businesses. But, you know, there are other strategies out there. One of my friends who has a powder coating business, he powder coats metal for big furniture companies, which are, you know, really prevalent in our area of the state. He's done some really exciting things. He's been in business for 4 or 5 years now, and there's some really good things happening in his marketplace. Number one, for the first time in history, Jim, he can compete in price with Chinese manufacturers.
Right, but let me ask you a question.
Didn't he become
attractive to investors once he had established that he had some kind of a going concern but just needed more money? I mean, right out of the box, without any kind of a track record, that's going to be harder to get investors, right?
Well, he doesn't want investors, but listen to what he's done, Jim.
Hold on to that thought,
Kim.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to let you tell that story right after these messages, folks. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Oh, how big.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.